Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of Trust at our Cross Starting Center of Turn, Congregation Mount Zion, the Sheriff's Hour. Elgin, Texas, today is August 23rd, 2025, or it is Elu 1, 2029. This is a new moon Sabbath as well. It's a seventh-day Sabbath, a high Sabbath. We're going to go right into our subject matter. It's called Volume 1 of the Timing Greetings by V.T. Holup. It would be number 26, and it's entitled A Worldwide Stir and Its Result. And that's volume, that's number 26 of the TG1. Worldwide Stir. Opening prayer thought for that sermon. It's going to be taken from right here. I shall read from the Mount of Blessings beginning on page 183, the last paragraph. MB. PG 183. If the Yahshua is in you, the hope of glory, you will have no disposition to watch others for the exposing of their errors instead of their seeking for the accusing and condemning, for it will be your object to help to bless and to save, and the dealing with those who are in the error, you will heed the injunction. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You will call to mind the many times you have erred, and how hard it was for the finding of the right way when you had once left it. You will not push your brother into the greater darkness, but with a heart full of the pity will tell him of his danger. He who looks often upon the cross of the Calvary, remembering that his sins placed the Savior there, will never try to estimate the degree of his guilt in the comparison with that of the others. He will not climb upon the judgment seat for the bringing accusation against another. There can be no spirit of the criticism or self-exaltation on the part of those who walk in the shadow of the Calvary's cross. From this we see that our need is to pray for the Yahshua to abide in us, so that instead of watching for the opportunity for the accusing or for the condemning others and for the exposing of their errors, we shall seek every occasion to help them, to bless them, to save them. We should pray for a deep realization of our own sin. Pray that the spirit of the criticism and self-exaltation be forever banished from us. Then we shall not feel free to mount the judgment seat and accuse anyone. In the prayer thought. Alright, our main sermon is entitled A Worldwide Stir and Its Result. V.T. Holup, February 1, 1947. The Book of Micah, we're going to turn to the 5th chapter and begin with the 1st verse. Now gather thyself and the troops, O daughter of the truth. He hath laid siege against us, they share smart desires of the Israel with a rod upon its cheek. You will notice that besides introducing a number of the pronouns, he, us, they, this verse, also introduces several different topics. First, a daughter of the church, then the judge of the Israel, and a rod. Other subjects are introduced further along in the chapter. Now for the gain of the vision and for the lesson that the inspiration is anxious that we should come to this scripture. Okay, that's that. Now for the gain of the vision and for the lesson that inspiration is anxious that we should get. Now let's read that again. Now for the gaining of the vision and for the lesson that the inspiration is anxious that we should receive from this scripture. It is necessary that we study one subject at a time. And in order to do this, we must group the verses according unto the subject. Since the subject of the verse one is the same as of the verses 10 to 15, we shall quote them consecutively. Micah 5:1. 10 to 15. Now gather thyself in truth, O daughter of the truth, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hand, and I will puff up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy city, and I will execute vengeance in the anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. For these verses present a group of people, good and bad, and commingled. When the Yahweh is supreme, then the scripture closes with the Yahweh's promise for the executing of the vengeance upon all of the heathen. For the mixed group of the people, wheat and tares, very obviously constitute the church that is approaching the time of the harvest, Matthew 13:30, for the time in which all the idolaters are to perish. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever their wicked from among the just. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their father Yahweh. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:49-43. We now come to the last part of the Micah 5:1. For the antecedent of the pronoun he, is found in the preceding verse, chapter 4, verse 13. Very quickly, we see that it is the Yeshua himself, and then by the pronoun us, Micah means himself, and his people, Judah and Israel, the church. Okay. Here it is that while the Yeshua with his message of the warning and recluse makes a siege against his people, the adversaries gather together in the groups for the opposing of such as such has been the case at the introduction of each newly revealed truth. For the church is logically called daughter of the truth, because her mother, the Jewish church at the time of the introduction of the teaching of the plan of salvation through the faith and the blood of the everlasting righteousness, the covenant of the Yeshua, Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20, the New and Living Way, gathered together in the church for the opposing of the Yeshua. It's the house got Yahweh here, but that should be the Yeshua. Moreover, being smitten in the face rather than in the back, the judge of the Israel, Yeshua, must have been squarely facing them, speaking unto them the reason for which the Jews crucified him. The verses that follow verse 1 again confirm the fact that the judge is Yeshua. They that smite him are his adversaries, his enemies. Concerning them, inspiration says, Micah 5:9, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. According unto the Yahshua's parable, the time that his adversaries, his enemies of the progressive truth are cut off is at the commencement of the purification of the church at the harvest time. Then according unto the Ezekiel's prophecy, the Yahweh's commission of the men with the slaughtering weapon and their hands, saying, go ye after him through the city, and smite, take not your eye sparing, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And they began at the ancient men which were before the house, Ezekiel 9:5-6. For the spirit of prophecy confirms this by saying, here we see that the church, the Yahweh's sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of the Yahweh. For the ancient men, those under whom the Yahweh had given great light, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. They had taken the position that we need not look for the miracle and the marked manifestations of the Yahweh power as in the former days. Times have changed. These words strengthened their unbelief. And they say, the Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. This peace and safety is a cry from men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show the Yahweh's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. And through the Apostle Peter, inspiration declares. And T.G., Volume 1, and number 26 and 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the plan, who obey not the statutes of the faith in the blood of the Yahshua of the everlasting covenant of the Hebrews 10:19-20 of the New and Living Way. And that would be 1 Peter 4:17 when it quotes obey not the gospel of the Yahweh. Okay, now I have some new light here I want to share with you. This began at the 1 Peter 4:17 made its fulfillment at Kermit, Texas. For the beginning of the judgment of the ancient man before the house, Rollis Johnson, angel of the seventh candlestick, Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, third feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Rollis Johnson in charge of the seventh candlestick, which represents the Seventh-day Adventist Church, with the office of inspiration. Rollis Johnson was the first ancient man before the house, and that was Ezekiel 9:6. It says, start with the ancient man. Well, the ancient man before the house was the one that was in charge of the candlestick, and that would be Rollis Johnson, number one ancient man, and his ordained son, Daniel Johnson. By the fact that Daniel Johnson accepted the ordination of his father to be his associate pastor, then his father anointed him to share the same office with him, his son, the same office as Rollis Johnson had. And that was the office of the angel of the seventh candlestick. Okay, so those were the ancient men before the house, and I was there called to serve with Rollis Johnson from 1970 to 2003. So I was also considered one of the ancient men before the house. Because I was there assisting Rollis Johnson, had been for 32 years. So when the judgment started at the house of Yahweh, I was there also. But my wife and I came through the judgment at Kermit, Texas. And we're still here today to talk about it. But Rollis Johnson did not come through that judgment. Here are his anointed associate pastor, his son, Daniel Johnson, did not come through it. And then Daniel Johnson anointed his son, Rodney Johnson, he anointed him to be his associate pastor, to be also an associate pastor. So it was father, son, and grandson that were anointed to be the elders at Gilead Center. Okay, I was not anointed. now I understand why I was not anointed by Brother Johnson. Because prophecy didn't allow for me to be an associate pastor with Brother Johnson of that Candlestick of Laodicea. These are all new things that I'm learning as I redo this sermon over again. Haven't done it several times before. Micah 5:2. But thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousand of the Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. That is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. There is no doubt that this verse predicts the birth of the Yahshua, the judge of the Israel, whose going forth have been from everlasting. Micah 5:3. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Micah 5:3. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Okay, let's continue on here now. Crucifying the Yahshua, and they're refusing to return unto the Yahweh. There was nothing that could have been done for the Jews at that time but to give them up until the time that she which travaileth has brought forth. For the pronoun as she points unto the daughter of the Zion, Micah 4:10. You know who the daughter of Zion is? That is the house of David. That's who we are today. The daughter of Zion. Who's the mother? Seventh-day Adventist Church today, 1844. And the daughter is the house of David that came out of the third feeding pasture at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. That was the one that came through the judgment, 1 Peter 4:17, at the beginning at the house of Yahweh at Kermit, Texas, 2002 at the Passover. She is to bring forth her children while in the field, while in the Gentile land. Then the time of her sojourning is to end, and she is to be delivered in that day, says the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will make her that halteth as a remnant, and the Yahshua shall reign over them in the Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever, Micah 4:6-7, T.G. Volume 1, Number 26, 18, Micah 5:4-5, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Yahshua and the majesty of the name of the Yahshua, his Yahweh. His Savior and Redeemer. Let's do that again. Micah 5:4-5. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of the Yahweh the Father, his Savior. And they shall abide for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace, and this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall trade in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Now who is this man shall be the peace? Well, that's Yahshua, no doubt. Okay. When the children of the daughter of Zion. So when the children of the antithetical house of the David return unto the Mount Zion in the land of Israel upon the kingly palace ground at Jerusalem, after Jerusalem has been built as a new city, because the old Jerusalem is going to be plowed as a field, and you're going to have to build a whole new one up upon its own heaps. But they are to abide forever. Never again are they to be cast out among the Gentile nation. Never are they to be given up, for the Yahshua is thus to make himself great unto the ends of the earth. And she that travaileth shall have brought forth, then the saints are to raise against the Assyrian 7 shepherds and 8 principal men, that is, all of the Yahweh's shepherds, and all of his principal men, including the Yahshua as the 8th one. So Yahweh the Father is going to raise 7 principal men, and then he's going to raise up his son as the 8th one to be in charge of these 7 principal men here in the 12th parabolicar that we're in right now, Micah 5:6. And they shall waste the land of Assyria. Now, the land of Assyria now translates into all of those Muslim nations that are surrounding the land of Israel today, which is outside the borders of Israel, which is called the land of Mesopotamia. That was the name of it back then in the Old Testament. But today it's Assyria, and Assyria is the precursor to the name Babylon. First it's the Assyrian, and then it converts into Babylon with the sword, and the land of the Nimrod, land of the Nimrod, which is the descendant of Ham, the second son of Noah at the cross. I mean, at the flood, second son of Noah was the name Ham. Ham was turned black because of the curse that he brought upon Noah's family by defiling Noah's wife and his mother. So he turns black, and so he represents the black nations of Africa, because Africa, Egypt, is called the land of Ham. Okay, so Nimrod was born of the descendant of Ham. Okay, and so Nimrod had to remain in the land of Assyria, outside the borders of Israel. But the descendants of Shem, the older brother of Nimrod, the firstborn of Noah, his land is the land of Israel. And his younger brother, Japheth, father of the Gentile nation, his land is the earth. His land is the Gentile nation. That's where Japheth, the youngest son of Noah, the third son, so he's the father of the Gentile nations, and so his headquarters then would be in the Gentile world. And it would be called Gentiles. So the youngest son of Noah, Japheth, he's the father of the Gentiles, so he's a Gentile. Let's do this again now, Micah 5:6. And they shall waste the land of the Assyria. Now this land of Assyria is the land where the 10 tribes of Israel went into captivity in the north of Israel out of their own land. When Solomon's kingdom was subjugated after Solomon's death, Solomon set up the kingdom of Solomon, and he ruled on his throne for 40 years. Solomon, the son of David. And then because of Solomon's great apostasy and sin, Yahweh let him rule for 40 years, and when his 40 years was up, then Yahweh subjugated and separated the 10 tribes to go into captivity with the Assyrians in the north, and the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, he separated in the south to go into captivity 121 years later after the subjugation of the kingdom. And it says, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of the Nimrod, and the entrances thereof, thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. All right. For the kingdom of the Israel that was destroyed by the Assyria, the 10 tribes, that was Ephraim, Joseph's 10 people, and also the kingdom of the Judah that was destroyed by the Babylon 121 years later, even all of the 12 tribes of Israel are to be delivered. And that's in Talmudic Readings, Volume 1, page 20, number 26, page 19. And I will declare, Yahweh, make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of the Israel. And Israel has 7 mountains that surround Jerusalem, kind of like in a circle. And one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more 2 nations, neither shall they be divided into 2 kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Yahweh. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, for they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. So let's go back and reread this whole thing again. Not the whole thing, but it says, that I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their a Savior, deliverer, Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and David, my servant, the servant of Yahshua, Because Yahshua is here in person sitting upon the throne of David and David's kingdom. So they're both together in person here on earth. And David is this antithetical David, and he has the title of Elisha David, and that's who as my wife and I represent in the person. My servant shall be king over them. So this antithetical David is going to be a king over who? Over those 12 tribes of Israel today, which is represented by the 144,000. So King David then is going to be the antithetical king over the antithetical 12 tribes of Israel, purified, represented by the 144,000, which is called prophets, priests, and kings in their own right, and shall be king over 144,000 kings, prophets and priests, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and fear them. Ezekiel 37:22-24. Micah 5:7. And the remnant of the Jacob shall be in the midst of the many people as they do from the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for a man, nor waiteth for the son of man. After the judgment in the house of the Yahweh, so spake, and then it is that the remnant, those that are left, are to finish the work of the gospel. Okay, let's go to Micah 5:7. And the remnant of the Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as they do from the Yahshua as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. After the judgment in the house of the Yahshua takes place, then it is that the remnant, those that are left, are to finish their work of the gospel. Those who have trusted unto the intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of the rank and file, for they do not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. We are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them. The Yahweh, Yahshua, has a faithful servant who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed unto you. Testimonies, line 5, page 8. Then it is that they, as the remnant of Jacob, are to be gathered into their homeland, after which they are sent as the missionaries unto the Gentiles, and that's the house of Japheth, the youngest son of Noah. He's the father of the Gentile nation. But Japheth was a Hebrew. His father Noah was a Hebrew. But they didn't start being called Hebrews until Abraham, that have not heard of the Yahweh's name and of his fame. They have not heard of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh's name, or of his fame. Thus it is that those who escape alive from the judgment of the living, 1 Peter 4:17, the house of Yahweh, the remnant shall be, which is 144,000, shall be as the dew some, the Yahweh, as it showers upon the grass, they shall wait for none in their missionary work. They shall bring all of their brethren out of all nations. Now, the 144,000, once they get it first, then they're going to go and get all of their brethren out of all nations, and that's their Gentile brethren, and the Gentile, and that's the Revelation 7:9. For an offering unto the Yahweh, the Father, Isaiah 66:15-20. Micah 5:8. And the remnant of the Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of the many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. While the Yahweh's people are as the dew and as the showers unto the righteous, Micah 5:7, they are unto the wicked as lions among the beasts and flocks of the sheep. In other words, their plan of the salvation, their teaching of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting, through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way, will save the penitent but destroy the impenitent. Micah 5:9-14. Thine hand shall be lifted up on thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahweh, Father, that I will cut off thy horses, meaning the leaders, out of the midst of thee, that's these false ministers. And the midst of thee would be the minister of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that would translate into. And I will destroy thy chariots. Okay. So that their chariots, those churches, those Adventist churches that have a steeple on top, that is a symbol of the Catholic Church. And I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all the strongholds. All the churches, the Adventist churches all the world with a steeple on top of it, he's going to throw them all down. There's millions of them, or thousands of them anyway. And I will cut off the witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, those that walk and talk, that stands in our pulpits spewing out these lies, and innuendos of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thy hands, of your self-appointed ministers that people choose, rather than let Yahweh choose it for them. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. Oh my goodness. These verses can mean only one thing, and that is that the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, will thoroughly purge his floor, for he will take the fan in his hand and blow out the chaff, for he will destroy the sinners that are among his people in the Mount Zion at the 11th hour in Kermit, Texas. And then he's going to, and thus purifying Gilead Center in 2002, the third feeding pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, he essentially then closed out the fourth movement mentioned there in Matthew 20:5, that was called at the 9th hour in 1844, the Adventist Church, closing out their movement, which was the fourth movement of the five that is mentioned there in Matthew 20, in the parable of Matthew 20. There was five movements mentioned there for Israel from the time that Moses was called in 1500 B.C., 3,500 years ago, with the first movement for Israel. And the last movement would be those that are called in at the end of the 11th hour, in Matthew 20, verse 6, that fifth group of laborers, and that's who the house of David is, and that's who I'm the head of, this house of David, the fifth movement. He will create a clean people, a united and zeal-filled ministry. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice. He declares with a voice, together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, shall bring again Mount Zion, again the Mount Zion that first appeared at Sinai in 1500 B.C. with Moses and Yahshua in that cloud at Kadesh Barnea at Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia, Isaiah 52:8, TG1, volume number 26, page 21, Micah 5:15, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of the Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. And if it first began at us, now this is a good question. This is Yahweh talking to the house of David that was residing at Gilead Center in the house of Esau in 2002, term of Texas, starting at the Passover. Let's read that again now. For the time has come that the judgment of the living, closing out the judgment of the dead, must begin at the house of the Yahweh. And this, when that happened, that happened in 2002, starting its term of Gilead Center in term of Texas, the third feeding pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist. And this us is the house of David. And the head of the house of David is Elijah David. And so he was lodging with the house of Esau when this judgment began, because Esau was operating during the 11th hour, and that was 1970-2003, and that was during the judgment of the dead period for the Seventh-day Adventist. So as soon as that period was over, then Brother Johnson was over. He closed out the judgment of the dead and the end of the 11th hour, and I was given the reins of the kingdom to open up the judgment of the living, and that's in Revelation 7. And if the righteous should, and that was at the opening of the seventh seal in Revelation 7 verse 1, or is it 8 verse 1, scarcely be saved. Where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:17-18. So, out of all those that was at the Passover and the Atonement of 2002 at Trump of Texas, when the Atonement, the Day of Atonement came for the blotting out of sins that year at Trump, there was only three of us that got our sins blotted out. And that was Alan, DeLong, me and my wife, Elijah David and Catherine. Only three of us came through the atonement and got our sins blotted out. Brother Johnson and the rest of Gilead Center didn't get their sins blotted out, and so they perished. that we miss no part of the lesson in this study, let us recapitulate the main points. To begin with, a group of people, good and bad, commingle, are brought to view. They, as we have seen, constitute the Seventh-day Adventist Church at the Kermit, Texas, 2002, that is approaching Gilead Center, the third feeding pastor for the Advent, that is approaching the time of the harvest to begin in the 12th parabolic hour, and the judgment of the living, and the seventh seal, opening of the seventh seal, in which the wicked are to be severed from among the just. And so that service took place, and so Brother Johnson and the whole Gilead Center that was outside of Alan DeLong and my wife, they were severed from us, showing that they were representing the wicked at Gilead Center, Matthew 13:49. While the Yeshua, with a message of the warnings and reproof, makes a siege against his people at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002, at the Passover, the adversaries gather together in groups, in troops to oppose. Then they are to be cut off. For the horses, leaders, shall be cut off, discharged. And the church gathering at places, and the church at parentheses gathering places destroyed. For the Yahweh's people are to be thoroughly purged of sin and sinners, and only the penitent are to be left. For they are the remnant of the Jacob who shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid, Zephaniah 3:13. For they are to be gathered into their homeland, from thence to go as the missionaries unto the Gentiles, unto the penitent. They are to be as a dew and as a shower, but unto the impenitent as the lions among the beasts and flocks, T.G. Volume 1, number 26-22. So the stir caused by the truth siege of the church and its adversary warnings against it, that is already beginning to arrest the attention of the world, is a result in the cleansing of the church, the temple, Malachi 3:1-3. That's who we are. This is the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, to finish his work on the earth by the gathering of his people for the destroying of the sinners and the heathen alike, necessarily, in the days of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, for the days of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are hastening on apace, for the Yahweh will have a people pure and true. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80, by Ellen G. White. Well, that's the end of that study. We have looked like a song here. It closes out the Avicii House, this sermon. Depths of Mercy is the name of it. Depths of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me? Question. Can my Yahweh, his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken unto his call, Krishna by a thousand falls. Therefore may the Savior stand, shows his wounds, and spreads his hand. Yahweh's love I know I feel. Yahshua weeps and loves me still. Okay, that's the end of our study for this day. We will close now with a song. Click on 11thhourcall.com, and that's number 11. Click on the audio archives to hear this sermon and more.